You're listening to the Popmatic Podcast. It is April, and I feel at least 50% more foolish than usual. This pronouncement has caused an audible groan among my colleagues, but Clint will edit that out later. Mm. Speaking of Clint, who is here today?
Clint is here today.
And Bill is here today.
And Amanda's sitting by Clint.
And Mike is here today.
Mike is back. Crystal is not here. I'm Brian. I get paid to be here. And special guest today is...
Jane.
Yay!
Jane, what do you do here at the library?
I work in Limitless Library.
Awesome.
When we kidnapped her.
And I think I said I was Brian already. Now, April is National Poetry Month, so we're going to play a poetry game later. April Fools. We're trying to make the library seem cool here. We're not going to do anything about poetry. Oh, wait, we are. Good.
Yes, we are.
At the end, we're going to play the poetry game. It's going to be fun. But before that, we're going to tell you about some funny things you can check out at the library. But wait, before that, my mother's birthday is April Fool's Day. You know, I'm serious. But before that, we're going to talk about some interesting things that are happening at the library.
Well, first of all, we still have Nashville Reads, and there are Life of Pi events happening all over town. Now, if you're good, Brian will put a link in our show notes that you can click on those events to find out where they will be. Also, we've got some pretty big names coming to our salon at 615, which is where the authors come to the main library. On April 3rd, we've got Anne Lamott coming. She's really popular. April 8th is Elizabeth Strout, and on April 18th, Cheryl Strayed is coming. I'm excited about that one. I've read her book, both of her books, actually. One was better than the other. And April 19th is my mother's birthday.
Radical. You know, I'm actually sort of conflicted. Like, I don't know what events to talk about anymore because there's so many ones. There are so many events that are so cool that, like, I don't know what to talk about. Like, I almost feel like maybe we should not pitch events anymore, but I feel like we should pitch events because... we're like the library podcast.
Maybe we should just pitch events that we like, that we think are cool.
Isn't that what we usually do?
No, normally I try to pick things that are like system-wide, you know? Because if I go through like things that are cool that are at branches, there's like 15 for a month. And man, this is exciting if you're listening. All right. Funny stuff. April Fool's Day. Amanda.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know about you guys, but nothing says funny to me like American history. So I'm going to talk about an author today. She's written several books. She was one of the hosts on NPR's This American Life. And if you haven't guessed who I'm talking about yet, I'm talking about Sarah Vowell. She was born in Oklahoma, but then was raised in Montana in... my favorite tidbit about her when I was kind of reading about her for today was Vanity Fair crowned her queen of the literary hipster nerds. And I was like, that's okay, she can be my queen. She's written several books, all of them pretty hardcore American history. She wrote her first couple books were essay books, including The Partly Cloudy Patriot, came out in 2002. And then she wrote, my favorite book of hers was called Assassination Vacation, and she chronicled her trips across the United States as she researched the assassinations of Abraham Lincoln, William McKinley, and James Garfield. And she took this like as her vacation time. And I believe that her sister and her nephew Owen went as well. Like, she was always referencing, well, Owen thought this and Owen did that. I don't know of anybody else in my sphere of influence that would travel across the country to study sites of assassinations of presidents. So she's just quirky and she's funny. Her latest book came out 2 years ago called Unfamiliar Fishes. It was about the history of Hawaii and, as Wikipedia put it, the American imperialist manifest destiny. So she's kind of harsh on the settling missionary type people that kind of took over the island. But if you are looking for some parody, like not parodies of political events, but a little bit more sarcastic writing, she's funny. If you get the audiobook, make sure she reads it because she has such a distinctive, squeaky little voice, which she was also, if you've seen the movie The Incredibles, she was the Violet the superhero sister that was Sarah Vowell. So highly recommend her. Very enjoyable, and you might learn something while you laugh.
When was the last time you and I agreed on a book?
This might set precedent.
So I totally endorse Sarah Vowell. So funny, so insightful.
intelligent funny too, like not stupid Will Ferrell funny, like
smart. Like her books are like you said, they're like serious history books, mm-hmm. but her wit is extremely dry and extremely funny. And like on social media, she's also extremely funny and extremely informative. Like if you want to follow an author on Facebook, it's Sarah Viles who follows. She's really incredibly funny.
Assassination Vacation is amazing. That's the only one I've read, but I really, you know, really enjoyed it.
And if you want to look up some good talks, she's like she's on C-SPAN a lot, you know, so she gives lectures and readings and are usually on book TV a lot, so check it out.
And I meant to write it down and I didn't. I first saw her on Conan O'Brien, and I think it was for Assassination Vacation, like they cast the audiobook for it, and like Conan is one of the presidents, and like it was this cast of like thousands of people that read the audiobook. I haven't looked at that, but.
Hey, Jon Stewart's on there.
Yeah, It's like all her witty political satirist buddies.
I guess I'll be going next. Naturally, I came unprepared, so you'll just have to hear me wing it as I talk about the plot of a movie I've seen 1,000 times. Airplane.
Wing it!
see? I totally meant that. Anyway, it tells the classic tale of Ted Stryker. See, I'm laughing just thinking about it.
Is he an MMA fighter?
Well, there is a fight scene involving Girl Scouts. Oh, zing. He's a fighter in the war. Yes, who developed a drinking problem afterwards. He gets on a plane, and there's some problems on the plane. Oh, no, and it'll go down. And then he helps pilot it. And it's more of an ensemble thing, but this is the only plot thread I can think of off the top of my head. And it is a very funny parody of, like, airport disaster movies of the late 70s, but I haven't seen any of those. And I enjoyed it immensely. It's got, everything ranging from, the parodies of, jokes, references to Ronald Reagan movies to, topical things for the time to bad puns that you get to see visually, like when the poop hits the fan and then it does. hey boys, we need to take some pictures. And then they take pictures off the walls. And it was the comedic debut of Leslie Nielsen, who before then was known as a dramatic actor as well as Robert Stack. Peter Graves. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the co-pilot, who was a basketball player at the time.
Sure, because why wouldn't he be?
Yeah. You know.
And all those 70s disaster movies, we don't remember them, but we remember Airplane.
Yeah.
So it's a testament to its hilarity.
Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
I have never seen Airplane.
Seriously?
Oh, Jane hasn't either. I'm not alone.
Thousands of times I've seen this.
Those who have seen Airplane can chime in on this, but like every sort of like stupid parody movie that you've ever seen, like you don't have to watch those. Like you can just watch Airplane.
Oh, yeah.
But I like those.
Well, you would love Airplane then. Airplane's like the platonic form for all those others that came after.
And if you get the DVD with the audio commentary with the Zucker brothers and Abrams and John Davison, that's hilarious, you know. So if you get double your laughs, you watch the movie first, it's hilarious, and then listen to the audio commentary about them making the movie, that's equally hilarious.
Didn't they take one of those disaster movies and take a lot of the dialogue out of it? Yes. Was it Zero Hour?
Zero Hour, yes. Yeah. Sterling Hayden and Dana Andrews.
And also, you interviewed
John Davidson.
John Davidson when we showed Airplane.
Yeah. And if our blog is not...
Speaking of jokes.
So you can go back and listen to the interview with John Davidson that Bill and Clint did.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I don't think I was out of town at that time.
Yes, somebody died.
Yes. It always happens.
Happy. Hey, man, this is the pop culture podcast. No one dies.
It's the funny one.
This is the funny thing.
This is the humor part.
Oh, my turn? We're going to still talk about Airplane for a while.
Yeah, we could do an entire podcast of...
Totally forgot.
Okay.
I'd throw it to Bill.
All righty. Well, Irma Bombex once said, "There is a thin line that separates laughter and pain, comedy and tragedy, humor and hurt." Or Mel Brooks said it best, "Tragedy is when I cut my finger. Comedy is when you walk into an open sewer and die." Having said this, my funny novel is Heartburn by Nora Ephron. a vivid depiction of the breakdown of a marriage. This autobiographical novel was inspired by Nora Ephron's marriage to Carl Bernstein of the Washington Post and Watergate fame. In particular, the breakup of the marriage when Nora Ephron was pregnant with her second child and she found out her husband was having an affair. I know what you're saying. Bill, it doesn't sound that funny.
I was thinking.
Well, give it a chance. Heartburn is a very observant book, and I just remember laughing out loud at many of the situations. In 1986, Nora Ephron adapted her novel for the big screen, starring Meryl Streep, Jack Nicholson, and directed by Mike Nichols, and I was really looking forward to it. I thought they had all the right elements, but sadly, they kept the heartache but none of the humor. However, let me recommend When Harry Met Sally, which Nora Ephron also wrote, and she also wrote and directed Sleepless in Seattle, which we still have in the library collection. Highly recommend those movies. And one more thing about Nora Ephron. Just go to YouTube and type in Nora Ephron highly recommends having Meryl Streep play you. It's hilarious. It's probably one of the – it was filmed at the American Film Institute when Meryl Streep got the Lifetime Achievement Award, and it's probably one of the funniest bits that you've ever seen. So I highly recommend that. It takes about 5 minutes of your life, and it's well worth it. It'll put a smile on your face. Oh, there's also this interesting thing when I was doing research. It's been several years since I've read Heartburn, but she changed the character, you know, of course, from Carl Bernstein to Mark Feldman. And I just – this just kind of dawned on me that Deep Throat was later found out to be Mark Feltz. And I have to think there has to be something more to that. She always claimed that she knew who Deep Throat was. But anyway, I'm finished.
Cool.
Brian.
There's nothing funny about Mark Feltz.
I think of Mark Feltman, the puppet. Yeah.
I dig it. That's cool.
I was just making a keen observation.
And I can't bounce off Sleepless in Seattle either.
It's so pretty. I've seen that one.
I'm too grumpy.
I have too.
Yeah, see, Jerry and I have seen
Sleepless in Seattle.
I've seen it.
When Harry Met Sally.
I have seen When Harry Met Sally.
I've seen that.
I come up low on the totem pole of video viewing.
I've seen Airplane. Now, how many people have seen the movie I'm going to talk about, House?
Me.
I totally saw it.
Haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
For real?
Nope.
Clint for hasn't seen House. So House, 1977... Japanese film directed by Nobuhiko Obayashi. Oh, I did so good on that name. So proud of myself. So it's about these seven schoolgirls who, on intercession, as we call it here in Nashville, have to go to their aunt's house on break. Of course, when they get there, the house is like demonic and haunted, and the house slowly kills them all. And that's pretty much where...
Wait, is that a spoiler alert?
No.
Okay.
That's like the plot of the movie.
Okay.
Like they go there and it just starts,
that's
right?
That's the basic plot summary, but...
That's where the normalcy stops. And I'm going to try to explain, like, what this movie is or what it looks like. And it's, I mean, nominally it's a horror movie, right? Because the girls go to this house and they get killed. But actually it's just extremely goofy and surreal. And it's animated, like, paint-on animation, like, on top of the film. And then all these mats where, like, the 3D filmed characters are against these two-dimensional, like, matte backgrounds. And it's almost like a kid thought of this movie, it's just so crazy, like back of a cereal box, absurd. And like, sure enough, the director's daughter, who was 11 year old at the time, actually gave him a lot of the ideas for the movie. Now, it is really goofy and strange and weird. It's kind of like Holy Mountain meets Scooby-Doo, where like the most, like, or
Jinkies,
like Salvador Dali, like, directed an episode of Scooby-Doo, maybe. But it's actually very creepy, too, and it's Japanese, so it doesn't have a rating by the MPAA, but I would say it's for, like, really strong PG-13. I would say it's not for kids. And then in that Japanese way, the schoolgirls are, like, obviously sort of supposed to be sort of, like, the sex objects, but it never gets real naughty the way, like, a crappy American horror movie would, where they'd get their clothes ripped off. It just sort of implies things in, like, that Japanese manga way. So the whole way through, it's just, like, creepy vibes, right? And then when they get, every time they get killed, it's really playful and bizarre. There's just nothing like it. So, Mike, you saw this movie, right?
That I did. It is so bizarre. I started to enjoy it just It's one of those completely unpredictable movies. You have no idea where it's going to go. Yeah, I highly recommend it as well.
Totally. Do I need a buddy to watch it with?
It is not scary. So remember, I'm choosing this for the funny. Because it's actually, like, I mean, it's more funny than it is scary.
Yeah, I mean, there's an evil demonic cat who, like, manipulates things. And it's not even, they don't even try to make the cat look scary in any way. It's just a cat. You know, it's kind of bored looking at stuff. And it's like, oh, no.
That makes it extra scary because they look just like everyone else.
It's not scary, no. But it's bizarre and weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And creepy. And the good guys don't win in the end, which I think makes a good horror movie. That's like one of the elements I have to have for horror satisfaction.
So they're not going to go skipping down the road together in their little Harajuku skirts? And
that's the beginning.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. At the end, they're sort of all in pieces. You know,
I'll skip if you're in pieces.
But there's local connection, too. So when it came to the Bell Court, local musician and designer Sam Smith did the poster for the Bell Court. And then that poster was so popular that when Criterion Collection put it out on DVD, which is the DVD that the library has, they actually used Sam's poster for that DVD. So film nerds all over the world who, like, there's so many film nerds who just buy every Criterion Collection DVD, right? They have that image that it was designed by Nashville artists, and that's pretty cool. Typical of the Criterion Collection DVDs, there's a really awesome booklet in it, and the essay in there about the movie was written by, I think, Bill and Clint's favorite movie critic, Chuck Stevens. he's your favorite, right? Which he used to live in Nashville.
I thought he still does. Does he?
Does he still live in Nashville? So another Nashville connection. So, and I read it. It's an awesome essay. The book itself, like, you know, Criterion spares no expense. The booklet is a beautiful work of art. It's just, it's awesome. So House, that's my pick. Not House MD.
Which is funny, but which is also creepy.
It's also known as Hausu, which is like H-A-U-S-U.
That would be in Nippon, I believe.
Hi.
Did you learn that?
Wait, how many languages
did you learn that,
man?
From your water bottle? And you just translated that to...
That's my other water bottle. The one
wait,
with house all over it.
I just
it's on your car keys, so you know how to get home. Yeah,
it's on my mat.
So you know German?
Yeah.
You know Japanese?
Hi.
So how many other languages?
You know, a little Spanish, Espanol.
You know what I forgot? Your cataloger. Catalogers yes. Know everything.
Yes.
It's true.
It's really weird when you're cataloging a book in a language you don't know. I've done that a couple of times. Like, where do I put this thing? I don't know.
Awesome.
As soon as you put it in the wrong spot, there'll be a patron that comes in. Why is this book in this spot?
How could you not understand Urdu? You fool.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah. We have materials on how to learn Urdu.
We do, yes.
It's not the weirdest language that we have either. I can't remember what it is, but it's one of.
We have Afrikaans, Welsh. Mm-hmm.
Colloquial Cajun.
I guarantee.
Twee? Do we have Twee? We have some Twee.
I think so, yeah.
Twee?
Yeah.
Now that is the April Fool's part of their part.
No, it's Twee. Where do they speak Twee? Some country in Africa.
I just said it's an African, yeah. Yeah. Something.
Mm-hmm. Jane, do you have any funny books?
Oh, I guess the most recently funny book I read was Diary of a Wimpy Kid. But when funny comes to mind, I think of Duck Dynasty and the family there, because they're hilarious.
I dig it. So we did this once before, and it was either 1 year ago or 4 years ago. We can't remember which.
19.
We've been so engrossed in poetry that it's hard for us to discern when we did this before. But it's a poetry game where we read you things which may or may not be poems, and then we try to guess which is the real poems and which are not.
Are we going to read them all and then guess, or are we going to guess after each one?
We'll read them all.
Okay.
So starting us off in an act of sadism.
You jerks.
Is Mike.
To greet your excellent bright beams, as brilliant as a comet's rays, the drums and brasses mix their praise with those of fountains, birds, and streams. With sounds alike and in like amaze, your heavenly face each voice salutes, which put them in such lively fettle. The trumpets sound like birds of metal, the songbirds play like feathered flutes. and thus they greet you, fair signora. The salvos as their queen, the brasses. As to Minerva, when she passes, the songbirds to the bright aurora, and all the flowers and leaves and grasses, as doing homage unto Flora, because you come to cheat the day, which now the night has covered o'er. Aurora in your spruce array, Flora in peace, Pallas in war, but in my heart, the queen of May.
All right.
That was pretty.
That was pretty.
I thought so. It was very flowery.
Okay, Amanda.
I'm not next.
Who's next? I'm next.
You're next.
Here it is. Slated for demolition. That's it.
That was brilliant.
Whoa.
I especially like the reading.
Okay, now it is your turn, for real.
Okay, but mine has a title. Mine is called Purple Champagne in the Sky of Jupiter. Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball, a girl with kaleidoscope eyes. I'll be waiting, with a gun and a pack of sandwiches. Get crazy with the cheese whiz. Now that she's back in the atmosphere, with drops of Jupiter in her hair, she's my kind of rain. Tambourines and elephants are playing in the band, where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies. Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Dun-dun-dun.
Ooh, cheese was a marshmallow pies.
Snack time.
Mm.
Okay, Bill.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Go for it.
Mine is called Reflection on Ice Breaking. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. Would you like another one?
All right.
Common sense. Why did the Lord give us agility if not to evade responsibility?
I'm down with that. Ooh, I like that first one, too. Da-da-dum. Okay, Jeopardy music. Can you imagine it? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Where's Alex Trebek when you need
him? We can get sued. Never mind. So, Mike, real poem, fake poem?
Fake poem.
Fake? How was that a fake poem?
Yes, it turns out it's a play called Life is a Dream.
Oh, okay. By who?
Pedro Calderon.
Not bad.
Yeah, fuck you know.
Okay, Amanda.
Mine was fake. I just took song lyrics from 8 different songs and smooshed them together.
You know, cool. The Beatles gave it away for
yeah,
me.
And I had to limit myself on Beatles usage because I could have just quoted their whole song and none of it would have made sense.
But I recognized it, but I guess I'm in that headspace. So, Bill.
I was the real deal.
That was the second one. Was by the second poem was by who?
Ogden Nash.
Okay. The first poem was also by?
Ogden Nash.
All right. What I read or recited was a real poem. And the title is The Cathedral Is. And then the rest went Slated for Demolition by poem game favorite John Ashbery.
He is tricky.
I like him.
We like that Ashbery.
It's the Philip Glass.
I like John Ashbery for sure, yeah. I do. It's good stuff. That's all I got. Happy Poetry Month.
Yay!
I was going to read Patti Smith. Someone said, no, that's too hardcore.
It was scary.
We can do Tickle My Fancy.
I just didn't prepare anything.
Well, we don't have to do that if we don't have anything.
We haven't done it for like so long, though.
I can wing that, too, I guess.
I could wing it if I had a second.
Yeah.
Got 15 minutes.
Another restaurant that I can recommend.
You're not going to beat your hot dog one on that one.
Have you been to Edley's Barbecue yet?
No, I haven't.
You got to come on down to my neighborhood.
Where is that at? I hate barbecue, but...
12 South.
What kind of human doesn't like
to avoid
barbecue?
My old boss used to, he would eat barbecue for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day.
I would
day.
Do that easily.
And I made him, I'm not going to barbecue with you today. He's like, let's go out to lunch. I'm like, okay, not barbecue. He just had to take me somewhere I could get chicken fingers or something, with barbecue sauce on the side. No, thank you.
I feel that way about, Back to the Future. I watched it so much in, preschool that they, I just... I like to see it again now that I'm much older.
I like the first two. It was kind of like Karate Kid. I like the first two, but I could live without the third one.
I'll watch any movie with Crispin Glover in it.
Did you see? Oh, what was the one he was in? River's Edge. Did you see that one?
Oh yes.
He was so annoying in that movie. Matt.
You know, if you ask him, he says, you know, what's your favorite role? At least in past interviews, he would say River's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's great in it.
Which one's that one?
Where they find the dead girl, kids do, and they don't do anything about it. They just look at her, and it's based on a true story.
Oh. Keanu Reeves is in it.
Dennis Hopper. Wow.
Yeah.
Why have I not heard?
Ione Sky.
No, it's a,
it's a movie that you have it.
It's one of the movies when Madness. when I was a teenager, my dad, I had it, we rented it from like the community store and we watched it and my dad came and said, "Boy, if you ever bring a movie in my house like that again." So it's one of those movies. So you know it has to be good.
That's amazing. Wow.
Okay. And directed by Tim Hunter, who co-wrote Over the Edge.
Another fine. Well, one of the great. Both of those are two of the greatest movies about teenagers.
And he also did Tex, which is another. You know, forget John Hughes. John Hughes sucks.
I like John Hughes, okay?
You're not going to go that far, but I mean, Tim Hunter. Tim Hunter.
I got to say, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about Over the Edge and, you know, River's Edge. I got to go with Tim Hunter. I think he directed some Twin Peaks episodes, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he did Carnival. He did a few of the HBO things. He hasn't made HBO. What was his last movie that he made? Was it that one with Matt Dillon and Danny Glover?
Yeah, I think so. The Saint of the Fort Washington.
That's been, what, 15 years ago?
15 years ago.
Somebody give Tim Hunter a movie. Give him some money.
Yeah.
Make a movie.
He could put it on, what's it, on Kickstarter. Like Veronica Mars.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm contractually obligated to mention Veronica Mars in every podcast.
Are we, by default, playing the What's Tickling My Fancy game?
Yeah.
Awesome. So What's Tickling Your Fancy is the Veronica Mars Kickstarter movie.
Because they got like $2 million in like a day.
It's like 9 hours or something.
It was less than a day.
It blew their mind.
Yeah.
Who's the creator?
Rob Thomas.
He just said,
I didn't expect this to get it at all.
Oh, crap. Now I have to make a movie.
Thank you very much.
Do you have any idea how stressful that is?
But somehow they got most of the original cast back, too. So yeah. I did not get to buy the $10,000 walk-on role, partially because I'm poor and partially because it was gone before I even knew about it. But
that's my birthday present to my partner.
Aww.
It was actually some guy who's not even a...
Fan. Not even a fan.
He was just like, I just do this. I bought it.
Oh, yeah, I heard that there's some guy who just buys the high-level stuff of different Kickstarters just because.
And he was like, you know, I might do it, and then I might just give it to a friend. I may be too busy at that time.
Can I write him a letter?
I was going to say, I need to make friends with.
Be like, hey, man, I need 10 grand. You know?
I've got a Kickstarter, you know, paying rent.
Oh, food. Yes.
College. Librarian needs a new computer, man. What do you say? Sponsor me?
Your rewards are a big thank you.
I watch Veronica Mars.
I've heard of it.
I watched one episode.
Oh, you should watch it.
I've heard it's amazing.
It's a high quality item.
Say it again.
I watched one episode.
You'll be way too quiet.
But see, that's why you're on the podcast, because then you learn about all these cool things, like half of what Brian likes and the rest of the stuff.
In all seriousness, House is like a really fun, bizarro, cool movie. That's like
great.
That's really creepy and naughty without being bloody or.
I'm gonna have to watch it in the daylight with a friend and see.
I'll be sure to put it on hold.
There's gonna be a hold list on it tomorrow. It'll be like one copy. We have 18 holds on it.
So, Mike, what's tickling your fancy? What's that?
I've heard of that. That's really cool.
Unprepared.
The last really good book I read was called Gun Machine. Which is pretty cool. It was like a mystery novel set in New York, where this cop accidentally breaks into an apartment and finds a lot of guns, and all of them were used in one murder, and then they were not traced again. And it was it went in different directions, and I checked it out from our local library. It was very twist and turny. It was kind of funny, and every time in my head when I was going to go read it, it's like I got to read. I'm just a gun machine.
So you got a soundtrack, too. Nice.
I'm just a gun machine.
Who's the author?
Warren Ellis.
Yes.
I tried to read his, what was his first
novel? Yeah, I read his last one, and it was too weird for me.
I just stopped reading. I don't know. I don't mind his funny book work, but.
I saw him speak once, and when these little nerdy kids would come up and ask him a question, he's this big Scotsman. He goes, speak!
That sounds like him. I also read Transmetropolitan, which is amazing. comic book series.
Is that the
guy with the funny glasses?
With the
different
the
color.
3D, uh-huh. But they're like real glasses.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's how they know you. Usually.
I'm kind of offended that you think I don't have enough nerd cred to know Transmetropolitan.
You never know.
Even I know Transmetropolitan.
We're in a room of people who've never seen Airplane.
That's true. I did lose points there for my nerdiness.
I did get a good movie from here. Didn't get released in the theaters. It stars Rebecca Hall called The Awakening. It's a ghost story. It takes place in the 1920s, right after World War I, in this all-boys school. She plays a debunker of ghosts, you know, seances, things of that nature. And it just kind of caught me off guard. I think the director was Nick Murphy, and just wanted to give a shout-out to that. Really enjoyed it, and it should have got better playing time in the theaters. It's like Merchant Ivory doing a ghost story, but a little faster. So.
Awesome. So last month's corrections, right? I didn't notice at the time, but I said Danielle Quinn wrote...
This girl, we'll have a correction next podcast.
I said that Danielle Quinn wrote Ishmael, and it's Daniel Quinn, but it totally just came out of my mouth wrong, and it's not. It's Daniel Quinn, which is a good book that you should read if you liked Life of Pi. And then, Mike, when you were talking about swords and laser, or uh-huh. sword and laser, uh-huh. you were saying fantasy, and I thought you were saying fancy.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Did you get that?
There is a difference.
Yeah. So I was like, you
I'm
were like.
I'm really into cat fancy and sword fancy.
Yeah, I was like cat fancy? But then when I go back and listen to it, it was like, you were saying fantasy. And I said, do you mean fantasy? And you're like, well, fantasy, you know?
So
yeah.
That's what I said,
those
but
give
okay.
you the incredulous look. But
those are the two things. All right.
I'm known to mumble, yes.
Hey, you've been listening to the Popmatic Podcast. For more information, you can go to
www.library.nashville.org.
Org. Because we don't make money.
Dot.
Flying Saucer Group. I would like to contact anyone interested in this subject. Condi 20098, ask for Ozzy.